When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Captain's Run. We are here for Chemist Warehouse. Get discounted prescriptions and save more money at Chemist Warehouse. Let's get straight into some rugby league previews. Warriors, the Wars versus the Tars, I guess. Titans?
I don't know about that.
Yeah, I don't know. Thursday, 2 p.m. at Go Media Stadium, Auckland. Warriors team news. Kate Will out with a throat injury suffered against the Dragons. Dylan Walker returns from ankle injury on the bench. Sean Johnson named despite Achilles' concerns and also talk about that he will have to be rested soon-ish just to maintain that. Titans team news unchanged from the loss to Manly for Fida, named to start though, and Sammy Palacia still sidelined. What do you reckon, Smithy?
First of the Anzac Day games, Kempy. This is over in Auckland and it's a sellout, as is the Dragons Roosters. Still trying to find out whether the Storm Rabbits will be sold out, but it'll be close. It'll be close, but we may have that figure by the time we get to the game. But first of the Anzac games, always a big day. Take away rugby league, take away the sport. Huge day for both Australia and New Zealand. But then you add in the footy on top, and it is a fantastic day just to bring everyone together, bring the communities together, friends and families together. So I'm really excited to see this one kick off. Now, the Warriors usually take on the Storm. So that's first and foremost a big change. They've taken the Anzac game back over to New Zealand, which is great. And they'll be looking to bounce back, of course, from that that horror show on the weekend against the Dragons where they were beaten easily. Yeah, interesting to hear that talk about SJ, about how he's going to need a rest soon. Obviously, you know, we spoke earlier about getting a little bit older and the game's getting faster, so... maybe they just look at this one. Maybe he's spoken to the coaching staff about this week, you know, wanting to take part. Everyone wants to play this one. It's a big occasion. So maybe it's this one and then he looks for a rest in round 9. But great opportunity for Titans to kick off their campaign. Still winless. They nearly jagged one on the weekend and there were some good signs from the Titans, not just the week gone, but the previous week as well. I've seen some better signs in their effort areas of the game. Now, they're still a little bit off with, you know, their footy, and I think they're still trying to work out that whole style of footy that Desi's trying to bring to their organisation, but the effort was the good sign. And they nearly got there. They nearly got Manly. You know, whether Manly sort of weren't, you know, sort of at their very best because they were playing Titans, I'm not too sure, but... the scoreline suggested that, you know, they took it to them all the way. So, good signs for Titans. Look, if they jag a win against the Warriors, that's got to boost the morale around the place.
Oh, mate, what a swing game for both clubs. You know, for example, if the Titans get a win, huge morale boost. If the Warriors lose, it's like, uh-oh, you know, very shaky last couple of games. You could even you can even argue last 3 weeks. So, it actually is, you might look at this game and go, oh... you know, yeah, Warriors should do them and, you know, we should all move on. But there could be huge ramifications from this because Warriors, if they put it this way, if Warriors go out and win convincingly, okay, it's back to scheduling as normal. If they lose, it's uh-oh, like we have some serious problems here. Our key player is rumoured to, not rumoured, but like it looks like he's going to need some time off because he's struggling with some injuries. And we've just lost to the Dragons, the Titans, and we drew with Manly. And yeah, as I said, the Titans, though, going over to New Zealand, getting the win, I mean, outside of maybe getting a win in Penrith or Melbourne, it's probably the biggest road trip you could have.
Yep, absolutely, mate. Yep, that and you add in the Cowboys as well, going all the way up to Townsville. But yeah, big opportunity for Titans. For Feeder's name to start. So yeah, a few changes there. Well, a change for Desi. He's looking for... a physical fast start by the Titans. And if they can jump away and get away, let's just say they get a couple of early ones, if they can get away to a 2-try lead, I don't know, like that does wonders for the mindset, right? That does wonders for your confidence and your belief, and then they just kick on from there. So again, you know, the effort areas, that's what they need to maintain out of last week. Look, I'm siding with the Warriors given they're at home.
Mm.
Very, very tough team to beat there. Look, it'll be a massive occasion given, you know, the whole Anzac Day theme and everything that goes on before the game. And a sold out crowd too. It's a difficult place to play. Mm. And maybe if the Titans go over there with maybe three wins under your belt, you might be a little bit more confident about their chances. But I'm siding with the Warriors to get a win on home soil.
Okay. Dragons v. the Roosters Thursday, 4:05 p.m. That is tomorrow. Dragons team news. No changes from the Warriors win last week. Roosters team news. Young and Walker return. Suoli'i moves to centres. Jennings drops out of the 17 and Watson back to the bench. How do you see this one, Smithy?
This one's a little bit harder. Mm. Given the form lines coming in now, Roosters had their chances last week, but they struggled to convert those chances. You know, Trent Robinson spoke after the game about a couple of refereeing blunders, but you still can't take away the fact that your team had opportunities to win, or at least to score points in certain situations, and they didn't. So just their ability to convert those opportunities against, you know, the good size at the moment is, you know, that's the question mark on them. The Dragons, I don't know, how do you sum the Dragons up?
No, which team turns up, really?
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah. Like, they're just so hard to pick at the moment. Like, they are literally rocks and diamonds.
Yeah.
They are the rocks and diamonds of the NRL.
Absolutely.
Like, when they play well, they are so good. Mm. But when they play poorly, my goodness, they play poorly.
Yeah.
They can find an ordinary game.
Mm.
So, you know, hopefully we see the good Dragon side that turned out like last week, where they complete, high completion rate, they play physical. Well, you know what? The one thing I will give them is that they do play with, you know, pretty positive energy, and they're physical most weeks. But, you know, they're just trying to, you know, convert all that into playing a good style of footy and holding onto the ball. That's a different story. But if they get it right, they're such a good footy side. They got a good mix of, you know, the youth, like Tyrell Sloan at the back. You know, Zach Lomax is in career best form. Benny Hunt is playing incredible again. You know, they got such a good balance across their footy side. If they get it right, then they can beat anyone, and they can beat the Roosters.
Mm.
It's just a matter of doing that. And am I willing to go out on a limb and say the Dragons beat them? Oh, is that rude to say that?
No,
Back the Dragons?
No.
Like, or does their form warrant them to say, look, they're a legitimate chance?
Oh, they're so up and down.
I'm going Roosters. I'm going the Roosters.
Mate.
I don't know why. I'm going the Roosters.
Look, what I loved about last week's performance of the Dragons, and mate, you would have way more insight on this than me, but, you know, like any game of rugby league, it happens in, like, patches is the wrong word, but cycles, or, you know, 10 to 15 minute periods, especially with the six again rule or the lack of wrestle. And I think that what the Dragons did really well is the Warriors just applied pressure for a good 15, I'll say 10 to 15 minutes. And the Dragons just hung in there. They knew eventually, whether it was by their own good play or penalty, something would relieve that pressure. And so what did they do? They hung in there. They got a penalty coming out of their own end. They went full field. They got another penalty coming out of their own end. And all of a sudden, the momentum completely swung. And they were the ones in their cycle where they're dominating, they're dictating the terms of the game. And I think that, you know, you look at the Roosters, the concern, I guess, heading into this game for the Roosters is they have an inability to take advantage of their, again, cycle. I don't know what word you would use, but their patch of play where you go, all right, boys, no matter what happens here, it's going to swing against us, so we need to make sure we score points in this period.
Mm.
I go back to the Storm game. Munster goes off. You know, Roosters need to score points in that period because eventually Munster's going to come back on, Storm will get their tails up, and we're going to be under pressure again. And that's what I really liked about the Dragons' performance. And so the Roosters, if they don't capitalise on the moments where they're dictating terms in the game, yeah, there is a chance the Dragons could get up. Oh, look, I'm going to go Roosters head-to-head, but I think this is actually going to be a lot closer than people may give it credit for.
Yep. No, I'm with you. Totally agree with that. I reckon it could turn out to be one of the classic Anzac games,
mate.
To be honest.
Flano getting the boys up, fired up. Robbo, yep, you know, he's been quite vocal in press conferences lately. And, you know, there's whispers, not even whispers, but some are of the opinion he's a bit under pressure. I am actually of that opinion that Robbo is a little bit under pressure to deliver this year. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, mate, I agree. It could be a huge, huge clash.
Another sellout. So, big crowd. I reckon they'll be up for this one. 3 p.m., isn't it? Or is it
4? 4:05 kickoff. 4:05 okay. Kickoff. Now, Storm v Rabbitohs, 7:50, Amy Park, Storm team news. Unchanged from the win over Roosters on Thursday. Rabbitohs team news: Cook recalled at hooker. Mamazelis to the bench. Arrow returns from shoulder injury. Shaq Mitchell in for Tavita Totola. Gagai in for Tyrone Munro on the wing. Mate, the best thing I like about the Storm so far, that they're probably playing 6 out of 10. So yeah, what's exciting for the Storm is when they do hit their straps around finals time, I'm very excited for that. What do you think about this game?
Yeah, I think, you know, watching them go about their business the other night, I think the most impressive part of their game was that 10-minute period when Munster was off. So they didn't concede a try when he was off. And that's been the most consistent part of their game this year. I know they've made some changes, a few little tweaks with their defence coming off last year. They weren't overly happy with the way they defended last year, even though they finished in the top four and went to a prelim. But, they're making themselves really hard to score against. That's what they're doing, Melbourne. I think they're in the top four. They might be second, maybe, for points conceded. They're pretty high on the ladder anyway, but that's where they gain a lot of their confidence from. They're still working on this combination of their spine together. It's only I think they've played 3 games in the last 2 years together, so Pappenhausen, Munster, Hughes and Grant. So they're still working a few things out, but when they get it right, they look really dangerous. Mm. Asofa Solomona, 1 game back. I know he's played a couple of games in New South Wales Cup, but first game back in the NRL last week, he's only going to be better for the run. And they love this game, mate. Mm. They love it. They love this one. They get up for the Anzac game. It's now become a traditional game in Melbourne to be held on Anzac night. And there's a bit happening in the city, of course, with the Essendon Bombers and Collingwood Magpies playing the earlier match across the road at the MCG. So there's just a buzz around the whole city. There's people out in all of their football colours throughout the streets and all around town. They love it. I think they'll win, and they could possibly put a big score on the Rabbits.
Mm, yeah, Rabbitohs, I hate to sound, I guess, hyperbolic, but it really is each game from here on out is almost season ending. And I'm not saying that if they lose this, the season is over. What I'm saying is there is so much on the line every 80 minutes now for the Rabbitohs. Mm. You know, you've got players that could get dropped. You've got coaches that could be on the move. You've got huge shakeups at the club. And so, at least for the foreseeable future, until they turn things around, it really is every 80 minutes. You're playing for your jersey almost, really. There's really not anyone in that squad outside of maybe Cam Murray, maybe Jackie Whiten, that could safely say, if I play poorly this week, I'll be here next week.
Yeah.
And so it really is such a big, big week for the Rabbitohs. But unfortunately, if you have a couple of bad games, you can almost, for lack of a better word, pull a rabbit out of the hat and just like get back to your old form. Mm. But I just look at the Rabbitohs and I think so many bad habits have been developed over a long period of 20-period game of, since the midway last year. I just can't see them being able to just, we might get to the end of the 80 minutes and go, geez, the Rabbitohs tried really hard. But yeah, I just can't see them. They can try really hard, but is everything going to fall into place? I'm not really sure.
Well, since round 12 last year, can't be like they haven't had a run of good form at all.
Yeah.
Like they've had so many losses and like defense is letting them down. Their ball control is letting them down. And then because they're doing so much work, they look like they have no energy.
Mm.
So, I don't know, maybe the buy has done them wonders. Damien Cook's back in the side, so pretty keen to see how Cookie goes. He'll be starting 9. I'm sure he'll be out for a big game. Mm. He doesn't want to go back to reserve grade again. So, but, yeah, I'm sticking to my guns, mate. I think Storm by a comfortable margin.
Yeah, I've heard or didn't hear, but I read that Damien Cook really went back and ripped and teared in reserve grade and played really well, which is good to know. I think also that the return of Jai Arrow, I mean, when you talk
about... Well, he hasn't played a single game this year, has he?
Pretty much, I think, since round one. And so when you talk about their defence, like, he's the heart of one of the hearts of their defence, where he does the tough stuff. And so maybe he can, you know, link up with Cam Murray and Jack White to lead the boys back into form, hopefully. But yeah, I see the Storm winning. That's live on SEN. Joel Kane, Brett Kamali, Spud Carroll will be calling the game. We're going to head to a break. After the break, it's Friday Night Footy, Manly versus Para. Welcome back to the Captain's Run. It's actually some really sad news has come across our desk. According to reports, it is understood that Terry Hill has passed away in the Philippines. Understood, according to the Telegraph, that he passed away from a heart attack. He's been working with charities overseas and his family's been notified. Terry Hill, he played 246 first grade games for South, East, West, Manly and West Tigers between 1990 and 2003. Yeah, devastating news for the rugby league community and obviously his family and friends. Smithy?
Yeah, really sad news, mate. I remember watching Terry Hill as a young fella playing for Manly and representing New South Wales, and one of the great players for a long, long time, you know, played in the centres. And he was just a character, wasn't he, on top of, you know, the quality of football that he was. And, you know, you remember, you know, some funny moments of him on the footy show. You know, it takes you back to your childhood, but, you know, those times when he used to go out to the Dapto Dogs and had his little segment with the greyhounds and all that sort of stuff, you know, that was, you know, really, really funny. But, you know, thinking of the times, you know, when he pulled on the jersey for Manly and New South Wales and the Kangaroos as well, like, he was a great competitor, wonderful player. Just really sad news. So we send our condolences and our best wishes to all of the Hill family. Really sad news to hear that we've lost one of our, another one of the rugby league community at such a young age, 52, mate. Just sad.
Absolutely, mate. Absolutely. All right. Now, got a preview. Manly versus Eels. Will it be Friday, 8 p.m. at Four Points Park, Brookvale Oval. Manly team news is Aloye returns to suspension, lodged to the bench. Brown returns from a knee injury. Eels team news, Ethan Sanders, named to debut. He's a highly touted half that's reportedly going to sign with Raiders for next year. Sivo recalled at the expense of Sean Russell. Madison starts in the second row. Talangi, Hands, Makatoa back on the bench. Blaze, Talangi and Moriarty dropped out. How do you see this one playing out, Smithy?
Well, I'd like to think that the Eels are going to bounce back after the words spoken by the coach, Brad Arthur, and he hasn't held back making some changes. And, you know, fair enough. If you send a team up, you know, to Darwin to get a job done against, you know, the Dolphins and they underperform the way they did, you know, things need to change. So he's put a few people on notice there with those changes. But, look, I think we'll see a much better performance. There's no doubt about that from Parramatta. And they have to bounce back. But I think Manly at home, they're playing some great footy at the moment, although... Yeah, they can be up and down themselves. They love this track. They love Brookie. And Josh Aloye back from that week's suspension. I think it's going to just add a bit of starch up front. I think Manly too strong.
It's a tough one, a really tough one. I agree with you, mate. I think that the Eels are going to bounce back. I'd be genuinely shocked if they don't bounce back, you know, with all the talk over the week. And I guess, you know, the playing group has to understand that the club's under pressure, the coach is under pressure. They've got the roster that should be. It doesn't necessarily mean they need to win every game, but at the very least be in every game. Bit of a surprising move from Brad Arthur. Ethan Sanders is playing six, or at least he's been named at six rather than seven, with Dylan Brown at seven. Sanders is a seven coming through the ranks. I'm pretty, you know, about 95% confident. I had this criticism last week as well and the week before with the Eels, but I'm just genuinely surprised that they haven't got a single person in their top 30 squad or even extended squad that is ready to step in if Mitchell Moses goes down at seven. It genuinely surprises me. I mean, even Sanders being named at six, I assume, now maybe that could change when the game comes around, I assume the concern there is just they don't. He's too young to run the team, and so they're going to have that responsibility on Dylan Brown. I'm not sure, but yeah, I do think the squad depth and balance is definitely out of whack currently at the Eels.
Yeah, well, they've struggled, haven't they, since Mitch got injured, and they've struggled for that cohesion and finding, that best style of footy that they can find to win matches. So, but I think more so than anything, forget about game plans, forget about tactics and all that sort of stuff. I think Brad Arthur, just going back to his scathing words of their performance last week, I think he's just looking for the Parramatta Eels to really just roll their sleeves up this week, get in a bit of a dogfight and see who wants it more. Mm. I think that's what he'll be looking for.
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully they turn up. Hopefully they turn up. When the Eels are going well, they play some really exciting footy. Look, we're going to head to a break. After the break, we're going to continue previewing the round. Welcome back to the Captain's Run. We are here for Chemist Warehouse. Save more money every day at Chemist Warehouse. Let's get into the next games. I'm actually missing Smithy. You're going to have to save
Tigers. Tigers Broncos.
Tigers Broncos.
Yeah, we got the Tigers Broncos. Saturday, 5:30, Campbelltown.
When the teleprompter doesn't work for me, I literally don't know what I'm talking about.
Ron Burgundy,
absolutely.
Mate, the big dogs are back. All the big dogs, Haas, Reynolds, Piakura, all returned for the Bronx. Although Ezra Mam and Selwyn Cobbo, are they officially ruled out?
Officially ruled out. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah,
there you go. Jock Madden, he moves to 5'8", and Dean Mariner, he comes back onto the wing. This mate, big game. Mm. Big game. I just think Bronx, though, with all the big dogs back, too strong.
The only concern I have with the Broncos is, it's just that the errors sometimes.
Yes.
And I feel like an idiot because they go out and they win anyway, and I'm just like, I keep talking about these errors and these completions, but
mate,
it's tough.
But you're right, though. At some stage, it's going to come back to bite you.
It absolutely will.
You can get away with it. You can get away with it, for 3-4 games. But at some stage, at some point in the season, it doesn't matter who you're playing, it's going to hurt you.
Yeah.
You just don't want it to be this week, though.
Well, I mean, some of the best chat I've heard you talk about our footy season is when you said how you play in the footy season is usually how you end up playing in your biggest game at the end of the year.
That's right.
You go back to that grand final and there is no denying that the errors cost them the grand final.
Yep.
They completed a high percentage there. They probably beat Panthers and quite handedly. Mm. It took a 97% completion rate for the Panthers to just win. I understand the Broncos play a very different style of footy and they're exciting and they can go from anywhere in the field. I get that. But I just think a good balance needs to be found between that kind of footy and obviously, you're very conservative kind of completion rate footy. In regards to Tigers, although they lost, I think it was 22-6, I actually thought they were quite good for about 70 minutes or 65 minutes against the Panthers on the weekend.
No, they're having a crack, mate. And I think that's the pleasing thing for Benji is that, for the most part of this year, I think there may be only one game, maybe two, where they've gone out and the effort just hasn't been there. And they've let themselves down. But, look, they were outclassed on the weekend, okay? They were outclassed by Penrith. A little bit tough, too, going out to Bathurst. It's a different ground. Not many of their players would have played out there, whereas Penrith a little bit different. I think they take a game out there every year. But the effort was there. So, they got done by 16 by what many people consider the best team in the comp. So they can hold their heads high. But they got to be up for the fight. They got to be ready for this one. They are a potent side, Brisbane. Mm. They are a potent side. And if they're thinking, Haas hasn't played for, 6 weeks. Reynolds been out for 3. Piakura's been out for another 3 or 4 as well. They're going to be a little bit rusty. Hey, boys, think again. Mm. They'll be ready to go, these 3.
Yep.
They will slot straight back in and they'll come out and play and put a performance in like they haven't missed a game. Mm. So the Tigers have got to be up for this one. I like the fact that they're at Campbelltown, so they get a chance in front of, I reckon it'll be a big crowd. Mm. I reckon they're going to get a really good crowd there. Given the feeling about the West Tigers at the moment, there's a bit of a good feeling about them. They've had a couple of good results, and the Bronx are in town, last year's grand finalists. Mm. Yeah, it's a chance for this young footy side to get out there and have a real crack against one of the benchmarks.
Yeah, I think for the Tigers, you know, your main goal has to be winning that first contact and line speed. Because if you get in a battle with, you know, momentum with the Broncos, you're just never going to win it. I just don't. There's really not another club in the competition outside of the Penrith Panthers that can go toe to toe.
Yeah.
When both teams are rolling and they're staying in that almost a fitness battle of who will break first. I mean, the Broncos love that stuff with guys like Carrigan and Hass's motors.
Yeah,
are just unbeatable.
Mate, I was going to bring that up. Like, where they're going to have to do a really good job is through the middle and on that combo with Payne Haas and Carrigan. Their 1-2 punch is just unbelievable. It's the best, in my opinion. A lot of people would disagree, but I reckon the combination that those two guys have. Now, I know Carrigan wears 13 on his back, but he plays as another front rower anyway. I know he does a bit of passing and all that sort of stuff, and so does Payne Haas, but their 1-2 combos with whether they're playing short balls together, tipping onto each other, or whether they're just using each other as an option, runner to take defenders away. It's just, I don't know, the fitness and the amount of times how they just keep coming at you, it's the best in the comp. So those two back together as well. And then you throw in a player like Corey Jensen.
Oh, mate.
Who just, mate, like he is tough as nails. And, you know, if you're thinking, well, here we go, we've got a bit of a rest, Haas and Carrigan aren't carrying the football, well, mate, he's going to get you on the back foot as well. So it's a great trio of starters in the middle. That's where they need to try and minimise the impact that those guys have on the game, particularly early in the match.
Yeah, maybe this is silly advice, but if I'm the Tigers, I'd be testing the ref to see how long I can slow the ruck down.
Yeah, why not?
Initially, to say, okay, because if, as I said, if the Tigers don't slow the ruck down, I just don't see how they can compete with a Brizzy Broncos. So hopefully, from a Tigers perspective, that gets done. Now, Cowboys take on Panthers, Saturday, 7:35, Queensland Country Bank Stadium. Cowboys team news, Taumalolo bench, Neem takes his spot in the front row. McKaylee starts onto the bench, apologies. Cleary plays his first game since round 3. Edwards fit to start at fullback. Taylan May returns after missing last week. How do you see this one playing out, mate?
Look, I've got Penrith, but we just heard assistant coach Jimmy Maloney talk earlier in the show about North Queensland and how they need to, they just need to aim up against Penrith this week. They need to want to get in the arm wrestle, which they haven't done a lot this year. You know, they've been great front runners. You know, if they start well and they score a couple of early tries, like they kick on and they go on with it. But when they come up against sides like they did last week with Cronulla, where they completed well, scored points at a steady rate, it's like they don't know how to get themselves back in the game. So this is a good challenge for them. You know, playing at home, playing against the three-time premier, that they need to want to get in the arm wrestle and stay in it. Stay in the arm wrestle, okay, and see how far the opposition want to go. Like, I guarantee, like, Penrith don't mind it.
Okay.
They've got to have that understanding that, you know, like, we get Penrith in an arm wrestle, they're going to want to go for a long period of time, and they're going to make us try and break first. Well, that's the challenge, boys. That's the part of the game you need to fix. No one's questioning your ability to score points because you got the best stat in the game for scoring points. It's your ability when it gets hard to prevent the opposition from scoring. So that's the challenge for the Cows this week. I've got Penrith just because of they love that style of play. Obviously big news that, you know, Cleary's back in for them, but I just think that they love that style of play. They're happy to go up in the grind, and it suits them playing against a side like Cowboys at the moment that really don't particularly like the arm wrestle.
Yeah, mate, I have to totally agree with your point in regards to the Cowboys. You go back and you watch that game against the Sharks, and it felt like the Cowboys almost told themselves, oh, we'll never get momentum back. So just whereas obviously those 17 blokes out there, they're definitely mentally aware that if we hang in long enough, eventually something that will happen to give us some momentum back.
Yeah.
Whether it's a knock-on by the Sharkies, a call from the referee, or a big play from us, And I just think for the Cowboys, they've got to be willing to say to us, like, it is a non-negotiable that we fight until we get that momentum swing. Yep. Whereas I kind of felt like on the weekend they went, oh, it's been about 10 minutes in the game and we actually haven't had a sniff here. Okay, it's not looking good. And yeah. I don't mean that in a mean way. I'm just talking.
No.
It did seem like that.
That's the way it looks.
Yeah, it looked like they got to the 10-minute mark and the Sharkies had completed at 100% and they said, oh, today is not our day, or at least this half is not our day. And so I think that the biggest challenge for the Cowboys is to have that non-negotiable of, we don't care about how many points we score, we just have to be in the fight for as long as it takes to get that momentum swing back.
What about Big Jace to the bench, mate?
Mate, I don't know what's going on there. Look, if he has a knee injury that stops him from being able to play as many minutes, like, oh, it's a tough one. Because then you go, well, if he can't play footy all season, then isn't that considered a potential medical retirement? Look, I don't want to make this extreme or make a big deal out of this or whatever. What I mean is like, just so confused as to what's going on with Taumalolo and his minutes, and also his playing impact. He's now playing nowhere near what we know he can play.
No. Well, there's clearly an issue there with the knee that he has to manage, right? So it's an ongoing thing. And you look at the seasons where he was considered one of the best players in the competition. Like, he was playing 60-plus minutes every game.
Yeah.
Now, I know, like, when you're dealing with injuries and all that sort of stuff, that has impacts on your minutes. But I don't know. Like, does continually playing him, does that do any good for himself and the team as well? I don't know. I'm asking the question. I'm not saying that Jason shouldn't be in the footy side.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking, is there an opportunity for him to miss a couple of games, maybe sort out the issue, and it'll be better for that football side and Jason in the long term that, yeah, if he has one, maybe two games off, does the knee come good where he can give a few more minutes to the football side and have a greater impact for them?
Yeah, like, I absolutely agree, mate. I think that question has to be asked because, as I said, like, it came out that he has this knee injury and that's why he's playing less minutes. Mm. And then so you go, the thing about footy, and I actually probably didn't know this. It probably took me a couple of years to accept this because as a young fella, you're not as mentally, strong or whatever. But once you cross that line, whatever injury you have, whether it is a reasonable excuse or not, doesn't matter. And so you're either good enough to play or you're not. And it took me a little bit to kind of get that around my head. Like, let's say I had a little bit of an injury or a bad shoulder that needed a reco at the end of the year. If I had a bit of a bad game, the younger version of myself would say, oh, but I got a bad shoulder. But the older boys would always say to me, mate, are you good enough to play or not? If you're not, don't play. If you are, you're on the field and you get treated just like everyone else. And I think that kind of has to, I guess, come into play with Taumalolo. Is he fit enough to play? As in,
well, that's a question,
it's just a
question. Well, the numbers, they've been on the decline for the last three seasons, mate. So, like, 2019, his averages, right? Season averages. So, 2019, he had averaged 19 carries for 197 metres. 2020 was average 19 carries again for 208 metres. And then we look at 21, average runs, 15 metres for 155. So, he's still making 10 per carry. Similar in 2022. Then you go to 2023, he's all the way down to 13 carries, 140 metres. And then this year, mate, average runs 7 for 85.
Yeah, wow.
So that's a huge decline, that one.
It seems to me that there's it looks to me, and take outside names or whatever, looks to me like a player that is injured, that's playing through injury, that may need a few weeks off to sort the injury out. Again, I don't know if that's the case. Maybe he's just down on form. I'm not sure. Okay, we're going to head to a break. And just to recap, Terry Hill has reportedly passed away in the Philippines. It's understood, according to the Telegraph, it was a heart attack. He was over working with charities overseas. So we just wanted to send our condolences to his friends and family. Welcome back to the Captain's Run with Cameron Smith. Dolphins v. the Knights, Sunday, 2 p.m. at Suncorp Stadium. Dolphin team news, Donoghue returns, O'Sullivan drops out. Knights team news, David Armstrong to debut. He was the bloke that scored those tries on the wing in the trials. Looked very exciting for replacing Kalen Ponga. Gagai returns to centres, Hetherington out through suspension. What do you reckon, Smithy?
Sunday Arvo, they're playing this game at Suncorp, eh? Yeah, you said. Yep. The Dolphins, they love playing at Suncorp, although they, you know, home ground KO Stadium, they like that one too. But Suncorp, Sunday Arvo, sunny match. I think the Finns could really, really drum up a big one on the scoreboard.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah. Sorry, Knights fans. The main man, he's out for an extended period. Still don't know how many weeks Pong is going to be on the sideline for with that Les Frank injury. But I'll tell you what, they're a good outfit, the Dolphins. Good outfit. They play pretty straightforward style of footy, but they just go hard every time. One change to their lineup. So they've got pretty much the same personnel lining up as what took on the Parramatta Eels last weekend. And I just think they're going to be, they're in much better form than Newcastle. Much better form. I've seen firsthand, like, calling games where Newcastle have played. I called the game where KP injured that hip pointer against the Roosters. They were on fire early. Looked like they're going to put 40 on the Roosters, and then KP injures himself. Is not seen for another, well, sorry, he touched the ball once in about 40 minutes of footy, and they didn't look like they were in the game. They had no answers to the Roosters' defence. They didn't look like making a line break or a tackle break or anything like that. So, look, unless they come up with just an outstanding game of footy, I reckon the Dolphins too strong.
Yeah, with the Knights, I haven't seen a single performance from this year where I've gone, yeah, that's the standard of footy I expected.
Yeah.
Every single performance, even the games that they've won, I have been very underwhelmed. So I'm going to go the Dolphins as well. Raiders v Sharks. KO Weeks replaces Fogarty, who's out with a ruptured bicep. Trindle drops out. Atkinson partners Hines in the halves. Sione Katoa returns from suspension. Stonestream drops out of the 17 after scoring on debut. How do you see this one playing out, mate?
Really impressive last week. Sharkies, very, very good game of football. They just controlled it from start to finish. They've got a good game that they're playing at the moment. So this is always a bit of a battle, though, eh? Raiders, Sharks.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, yeah.
Is it a sticky thing? What is it? Like, is it because...
I think it's
I don't know.
It's a Gal versus the Raiders, almost.
Mate, it was Gal versus everyone.
Absolutely.
He just hated everyone.
He hated everyone. Absolutely.
Going off the back of, their performance on the weekend, you'd have to stick with the Sharkies. Got a few changes, of course, though. But I think the big one, the big out in this game is Jamal Fogarty.
Oh, man.
Ruptured bicep, like, awful injury. Have they said, is it what, 6-8 weeks?
Yeah,
we heard from 8 weeks. So like that's a big blow to the Raiders, who had some really good signs early in the season. Although as far as results are concerned, mixed bag. They're 4 from 8, but I'm going Sharkies.
Mate, I agree with you. Raiders without Fogarty, I think it's going to be a very tough slog. We're going to head to a break. After a break, we're going to wrap up the show, get to your texts, and we'll see you on the other side.